It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report this morning. Paul Ramo in his usual position. Have to go through some scores. Boy, I got about 50 of them, but I'll do a few on Thursday and a few on Friday. But first off, I got to do a shout-out to Devin Olson in Dawson. I'm hoping I had a little crash with my pickup, and hopefully the insurance company will let him fix it for me. So shout out to Devin Olson. Okay, of course, the game you heard live on Thursday night, Lacaparo opened up their season with a big win over 14th ranked Gibbon Fairfax Winthrop. Didn't know that.
No.
And 32-6. They really had a great game winning the turnover. Big plays. Also, some other scores. Painesville shut out KMS 41-0. Tracy Milroy Ballaton over McRae will be playing them later on in the season, 38-16. Mineota, ranked number one in the state, 44. And the Minnesota Valley Lutheran down in New Ulm, 6. Let's see. Foley won. Paul's going to go up and watch his grandson play. He's a senior this year. They won over Glencoe Silver Lake, 54-14. Let's see. And then last night, you heard the Blackjacks on there. A big first half, and they defeated Murray County Central, another probably ranked team going into the season, 42-21. Let's see. My grandsons play for Annandale, defending state champs in 3A. Little Falls, 28-8. Lakeview, our next opponent, shut out Medelia by the score of 38-0. Breckenridge over Benson, 35-22. And I guess you can go on Minnesota scores.net and get the rest of the scores. So, but Tony Smith's in the studio this morning. Congratulations, Tony. Big win to start out the season.
Yeah, it was a nice win. It was obviously a very warm, humid evening. But yeah, a lot of confidence, got everybody in, got everyone some reps. So it was a success on a lot of fronts.
Yeah, and in the post-game show, too, you got a big advantage over last year. You didn't have many people on the sidelines, and you were able to substitute, so you kept a lot of people fresh, and that younger crew has really helped out as well.
Yeah, last year was crazy with the amount of injuries that plagued us throughout the year, even before the start of the year.
And, yeah.
And this year, knock on wood, we're only down one right now. And but as far as that goes, yeah, we got a lot of kids in. The younger kids, you look on the sidelines when we're looking for a sub, and all of a sudden all eyes are bright-eyed, and they're ready to go, and they're chomping at the bit to get in.
Yeah.
I want in. I want a part of this. So that was great to see. And yeah, we were able to get a lot of kids in, you know, even in the first half there with some guys needing to come out for on a kickoff or kick return, or a snap here or there, they were ready to answer the bell.
Right. Well, let's go through some of the statistics.
Okay. Well, to start off the game, we took the opening kickoff, and Jackson Fernals had a nice return and got us started. And then on third down, Gavin Meyer dropped back and hit Jax Wells on a 56-yard touchdown pass. And then Jay Staline went in for a two-point conversion to make it 6-0. They scored then early in the second quarter, And that is kind of where the tide started to turn. So it was 8-6, and we end up getting the ball back. And Gavin Meyer hit Gavin Mortensen on a 39-yard touchdown pass. Two-point conversion failed. So now it's 14-6. And then just before half, Grant Bierke went on a 33-yard run to make it 20-6 at halftime. And gave them some space at halftime, let them stretch a little bit. We had a couple of kids cramping at halftime, but not too bad. So Matt Carmody and Kelly Whitnable did a nice job of making sure that we had plenty of fluids on the sideline. And I also want to credit the coaching staff. We talked to the kids all week about knowing that it was going to be hot, and I think the kids took our words and listened to them and really applied that. So cramping really wasn't an issue. Starting in the third quarter, then Gavin Meyer had a 4-yard touchdown run to make it 26-6. And then in the fourth quarter, kind of went back and forth a little bit. But we had held them on a fourth down inside of our red zone, and actually inside the 10. And Grant Bierke went on an 88-yard touchdown run to make it 32-6. Got contributions from all over the place as far as offensively. Passing-wise, Gavin Meyer was 4 of 8 for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jared Swenson was 1 of 2 for 2 yards. Receiving, Gavin Mortensen had 2 receptions for 59 yards and a touchdown. Jax Wells had 1 reception for 56 yards and a touchdown. And Braden Olson had 1 reception for 2 yards. Rushing, Grant Bierke had 5 carries for 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. Brindley Proctor, who's a freshman, came off in the second half, fresh in the third quarter there, and he had a couple of long runs. He had 3 carries for 55 yards, one of them being 38. Nicholas Hoffman did a nice job. He had 4 carries for 17 yards. Jace Deline, who is our kind of the bell cow when it comes to our fullback position, but he was overheating a little bit on Thursday night, and so we had to shut him down early. He had 4 carries, 9 yards, and a 2-point conversion. Gavin Mortensen had 3 carries for 8 yards. Brody Wolfschlager had a carry for 3 yards, and Gavin Meyer had 2 carries for 4 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, we knew that they were going to be in the power T, and we saw that the scrimmage with Benson, and we saw it last year out of them. They did mix it up a little bit with some shotgun stuff, but I really felt like, or the coaching staff and I felt like, you know what, we need to keep this thing simple so that if they are moving around in different formations or something that we haven't seen, we can kind of go back to kind of the basics. And I thought the kids did a really nice job. We had to make some adjustments as we went along there, adjusting to some down blocks or some double teams. But in general, I thought we did a nice job. Tackle-wise, Jax Wells had, 2 tackles and 3 assists. Evan Schliemann had 2 tackles and an assist. Matthew Sherman had 2 tackles. Scott Asphill had 2 tackles. Grant Bierke had 2 tackles and an assist. He also forced a fumble. Tackle. What's kind of interesting with Gus is, so we had him playing some linebacker, but then we went to our 5-man front. We just had him go on the nose over the center, and he's 5'7", maybe. And so we just had him cut the center to try to just make a pile, and he did a nice job of that. Max Young had a tackle and an assist. Logan Ludvigson's another freshman, got some good quality reps, had a tackle and an assist, did a nice job of keeping the outside contained. Brody Wolfschlager had a tackle. Torgan Johnson had a tackle. Ryan Bierke had a tackle. Isaiah Arnold had a tackle. Jace Deline had an assist. Jackson Fernals had 2 assists. Angel Miha had 2 assists. Tanner Tilbury had an assist and a fumble recovery. Caden Peters had 2 assists, and Rory Biragon had an assist. Special teams-wise, Jackson Fernals had 1 return on the kickoff for 20 yards, and Gavin Mortensen had 1 for 11. Punting, it was the Bierke brothers. Younger Bierke outdid older Bierke. Ryan Bierke, the sophomore, had 1 punt for 40 yards, and Grant, the senior, had 1 punt for 37 yards. All in all, you take a look at the team totals. They ran 66 plays to our 46, but we outgained them by over 100 yards. Obviously, the big plays. We had 117 yards passing. They had two. We obviously won the turnover battle, and the big plays were really a part of it. They got 2, 3, 4 yards. I think they broke off one of like 20, and that wasn't necessarily scheme for them. That was just the fact that we weren't wrapping up and weren't running our feet like we had been earlier in the game.
Yeah, and I know that number 7 was a nice-looking halfback. I know you would like to have him at Lacaparra Valley, and you held him to very few yards. And I know they all first down you, but you like you said, the big plays. And, you know, the one turnover that you had in deep in your territory, you held them on fourth down. You took over on the 8-yard line, and then the next play you had that 82-yard touchdown run. So the big plays really helped you, and you won the turnover battle.
Yeah, sure. We took over 3 of their fumbles, and they got 1 of ours. But, yeah, we were able to score on all 3 of those, and they didn't on theirs. So, they were a section final team last year. They graduated a lot of kids, a lot of size. They did have like you had talked about number 7, but they also had number 5, who was a returner.
Yeah.
He was a nice back for them too. So, they really tried to take away the stuff on the outside. You could see as time went on, they really started to widen out some guys. And so that's what really made us being able to run in between the tackles start to happen as the game went on. And then also the big plays in the pass game, they were really focused in on taking away the stuff on the edges.
Right. And your offensive line and defensive line did a super job for you.
Yeah, and that's kind of been a work in progress all 3 weeks. I mean, that's where the game is won, is in the trenches, the guys up front. And, you know, after the scrimmage last Saturday, we thought, hey, you know, we've got some possibilities here, but we have to be more consistent. And I thought we were much more consistent on Thursday night. Now, the coach speak in me says, hey, we got some things to work on. We got some things to iron out as we're watching through the film. And that's with everybody, right? There's no perfect program. So we're going to continue to go to work and take a look at the things that we need to improve on and make adjustments here and there.
Okay. And I know defensively, last year, the people that had the most tackles were in the way back in the safeties and cornerbacks. So this time, the linemen and the linebackers, the people in the safeties and cornerbacks didn't have too many tackles.
And, you know, like Gavin, for example, Mortensen, you know, he ended up with somewhere in that six or seven tackle range, but a lot of those were 5 or 6 yards deep just because they were running the football. I thought we did a nice job as the game went on, attacking the edges with whether it was Grant Bierke. Gavin Meyer had a nice job, made a couple of nice sticks early in the game. Scott Asfelt was in on the edge there a little bit. So we did some nice jobs because they were down blocking everybody and trying to kick out and get to the outside. So we did some nice things on the edges there.
And some good fundamental tackles. I mean, very few arm tackles. You put the shoulders down and hit them at the knees or below and tripped them up. Some open field, really nice hits.
Yeah, and you know, it's you can't get by tackling up around the shoulder pads. And obviously with that number 7, we were living proof a couple of times, but the majority of the night we were around or down around the knees and ankles and yeah, using shoulder pads and really focusing in on running our feet.
Yeah. So, next week.
Next week, we go to Lakeview. Obviously, they had won last night. I haven't had a chance to see the film yet. But, you know, they graduated quite a few players, but they always seem to have quite a few players in the program. And so we'll see what that looks like for us coming up this week.
Yeah, and then Monday, those freshmen and sophomores. You got 15 freshmen out, and you mentioned some of those names, and they get to go up to Wheaton or
it's actually
going to
be on Tuesday, but yeah, I think they're playing in Graceville just because of closer.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're excited to get there. Get themselves a chance to play. Junior high did play last week. They were in a scrimmage down in Lakeview. There was a number of different teams. They were 1-1 on the day. So, and that number in the junior high has kind of fluctuated. We were up as high as 21, then we were down to 14, and now we're back to 21 or 22 again. So we've got to try to find that consistency and get them to practice. Carmody can coach those kids up, and they can learn the game of football a little bit better.
If they were there on Friday night, they'll get excited, and all they have to do is go to the clinic and get their physical, and hopefully some more will come out. And
we'll take them.
Oh, gosh.
We'll take them.
Yeah. So, anything else, Tony?
Go ahead. I got to jump in here, Dick.
Okay.
Before we sign off.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you got anything else there,
Nope,
Tony?
Nope.
Okay. You know, it was very warm Thursday. Very warm. And, Dick, you gave a shout-out earlier. I got to give a shout-out to Brittany Angusmo.
Right.
We were in a sauna in the press box.
It was warm in there.
And Brittany heard our demise, and so she brings a huge, not a small fan, a big, huge fan up in their press box, plugged it in, made a world of difference, didn't it, Dick?
It sure did, yeah.
So
yeah.
Thanks to Brittany Angusmo for helping out there. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I was impressed with your team, Tony.
Yeah, I think this group has gelled very well. That kind of started last year with the way that things were going, and it's really kind of moved itself into the spring and baseball and now into the football season. The older guys are mixing in with the younger guys. The older guys are coaching up the younger guys. So, yeah, it's been a great group to work with.
What was really nice to see is Gavin Meyer and Grant Bierke, who did not play last year because of injuries at all, did they?
No, and they showed up, you know. They showed up and showed out when they needed to.
Yeah. Awesome.
Also, in the program, if you looked at the individual roster, you had a nice thing about what's your favorite thing about football?
Yep,
and things like that. All the players had positive comments, really. And the one thing is that get to play with my buddies, you know, my friends, and I like the team concept.
You know, and that's one thing that's great about football is, and I talk about this and we joke about it a little bit, but, you know, in 20 years when that 2-yard touchdown run turns into a 22-yard touchdown run and he broke 8 tackles and jumped over a guy, and everyone else can laugh and kind of call them out on it, but that's the wonderful thing about high school athletics.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Against Lakeview, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good, thanks.
Tony Smith on football. John Sherb just walked in the studio. We'll be talking cross country with him after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Looking for quality meats and hometown service? Stop by Avila's Country Butcher on Main Street in Dawson. Whether you're planning family dinners or stocking the freezer, you'll find farm fresh eggs, flavorful pork sausage links, and beef and pork bundles to fit your needs. Don't forget to check out the weekly specials and save on great tasting favorites. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5:30 and Saturdays 9 to 1. For quality you can taste and service you can count on, make Avila's Country Butcher your neighborhood butcher shop in Dawson.
My friend was thinking about suicide, so he called 988.
I was really struggling, so I texted 988.
I didn't know where to turn, so I reached out to 988. The 988 Minnesota Lifeline offers free 24/7 confidential support from trained local staff. If you're in crisis or just need to talk, call or text 988 or chat at 988lifeline.org. Paid for by Mental Health Minnesota, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
You know Jim's Clothing in Dawson? You know Fast Threads in Montevideo? Here's what you might not know. We're the same team. Same people, same service, now with more custom apparel power than anyone in the region. Screen printing, embroidery, signs, and more, all produced right here in western Minnesota. Fast Threads and Jim's Clothing, proud to support county fairs in our area and proud to serve you. The La Caprile County Fair, September 10th through the 13th in Madison, and there's something for everyone. Enjoy great live entertainment, the Midway, 4-H exhibits, the Minnesota State High School Rodeo, Fisherman Dan's Comedy Stunt Show, live music, and the exciting Demo Derby. Plus, don't miss the White Sidewalls, Pop Rocks, Gen X Jukebox, Custom Made, and so much more. Bring the whole family and make some memories at the La Caprile County Fair, September 10th through the 13th in Madison. The Little Minnesota State Fair, big fun for everyone.
Welcome back to the Culture Show, talking cross country with John Sherb now. And John, you know, we heard about the weather, how hot it was in, at the football game. No difference at the cross country meet.
It was hot. It was hot. Heat wise, my years of coaching, we ran in tougher conditions. What we saw, I mean, it was not where we wanted to see the weather compete, and that's the way it is. You know, Appleton was a tough one, but again, we still followed the State High School League numbers and everything else, and we were under the numbers of canceling the meet. I honestly thought Wednesday night and Thursday morning we were not going to get the meet in.
Yeah.
But
well, before that, on Monday, it was just as hot, if not hotter. So
Morris,
they were probably used to it a little bit.
Yeah, that, I know Morris was tough because if you've ever been to the Morris Golf Course on the east side of the golf course, they got that long climb of a hill, and for the 5Kers, you got hit that twice, and so that makes it tough. And I cover a lot of ground when I'm at a cross country meet, so I'm out running and. My old body was starting to labor a little bit, and I think I put like 1,700 steps in on Monday. I think I put about 1,900 on Thursday, so I covered some ground. But Tuesday morning, I was hurting, and again, if I'm hurting pretty good, and again, I'm okay with it, but it was tough and just dead air. That whole backside, there's no tree, no shade at all, and there's no air moving on that backside anymore. So it made it really tough. And a couple of our kids, honestly, they go, I've got to the 2 mile mark, and after that it was just where's the finish, and so that tells you it's on the edge, and we hadn't done anything conditioning wise. We had all preseason we haven't seen the heat, and so now you get stuck in it, you aren't ready for it. But I think that helped a little bit for Thursday too of our meet. We were a little bit more calmer, understood a little bit better.
Yeah, and we'll go back to Morris in a second. You can give the results, but there was a little air movement on Thursday. So,
yes.
The only thing the workers talked about is that the finish line was in the sun all meet long. So.
I can't satisfy everybody. You know all that is. That's just you try to do the best you can.
But, so let's talk about Morris.
Yeah, Morris was, you know, it's a good meet for us because we see a lot of the northern schools we don't see hardly at all. The old West Central Conference schools we'll see there. Then we'll see the old Section 6A ones that we ran in up that section. So could see some of them. So it was a good kind of... Hey, where are we at? Let's start our season out. You know, we've got a mark. We'll set a mark, and we'll build off it. And that's our biggest thing, because if you've been around me enough, you want to do well early. It's how you finish the season. That's what we're going to try to do is we finish the season. So, again, how it goes, we'll see. But it was good marks and a good experience for a lot of kids, because we got some new kids, some new spots, and to handle it. And I thought they did a nice job with that. Junior high, they run really a nice short distance up there. Our young, we got three, you know, really, I think, seventh graders that have some potential. But our young, there's some potential down the road. In the junior high race, Braden Heinrich, and again, like I mentioned last week, I can't tell the difference yet. Give me another month, I'll know the difference of the two twins. But Braden Heinrich was third overall at 9:59. Landon Heinrich was right behind him at 10:07. David Felton was sixth at 10:21, and then Landon Sculler was 16th at 12:14. And again, I thought they handled it well, and they were conservative early, and that's the biggest thing for the young ones is you don't want them going out ball of fire, and then that last part is a burning fire trying to finish, and so they finished very strong. I liked the way they came back because I think they were probably sitting in about the 10th spot through about the first half a mile of the race, and then they just started clipping away, and that's what you want to see on that. Junior high girls ran the same course. Chelsea Clark was our top runner. She was ninth overall at 12:29. Skylar Stock was 10th at 12:55. Ainsley Grunholz was 16th at 13:54. And I think one thing on our kids, I was this whole week I was kind of disappointed on their hydration. I think that's they take things for granted, even if you're an upperclassman or a lowerclassman, they take it for granted that they're still getting enough water, and I still don't think we were drinking enough water all week, and hopefully they got a little bit of a lesson and understand what I'm telling them, that they need to get more water in, because, again, I just don't think we were hydrated as well as we could be. Varsity boys, again, we ran six guys in varsity, all sophomores. So this is the crew I talked about, last week that ran a lot of varsity for us late in the season. So this is going to be kind of our run here with them. And then Colin Rosenau was our top runner. He was fifth. Again, he was in 10th early and then just started chipping away and closed the gap. Had a nice finish, 19:25. Matthew Bothan was 11th at 19:56. Colden Heineke was 22nd at 20:59. Kentaro Serraro was 23rd at 21:02. Aaron Will was 29th at 21:41, and then Eddie Felton was 35th, and he was at 22:48. Scoring-wise, the boys ended up finishing fourth. I was 73, but we were only 6 points out of third, and then we were only 18 points out of second. So we weren't that far out, just getting that first loop in, and then Melrose won it, went 50. So, again, we weren't that far out of that. Varsity girls, we got talented varsity girls here. We just, again, where we're at. And the biggest thing with this crew is going to be who's going to pick up for someone else, because that's what we did last year was, someone has an off race and we'll fit in. And girls ran well. We hit some tough spots. I know Bryn is, she's got that asthma, sports asthma, and so that heat did not help it at all. That's made it a lot tougher. She got through, and it was a tough finish for her, but she got in and got through, and same thing with Laura, had a stomach ache. So it was just a lot of kids handling that heat, but we ran well. Bryn was fourth overall at 22:51. Laura was right behind. Laura had a really, really nice race, came back and closed the gap on there. She ended up finishing fifth at 23:01. Chloe Glagie was 11th at 23:52. Talia Hurston was 12th at 24:19. And Sadie Rosendahl was 19th at 25:42. Harper Grunholz was 24th at 27:11. Scoring-wise, the girls ended up winning by 11. We beat West Central. It's the first time we've won that meet in a few years, but we've always been very competitive. So that's a nice start for us. Yeah, you want to win, but we want to keep developing. That's what we're looking at doing. Junior varsity boys, Braden Ross was our old – Roden Ross, excuse me, was our – or lone runner, and he was eighth overall at 11:11. He's a first-time cross-country kid. I thought he may have been a little bit off early, but again, that's the learning process of understanding patience a little bit early or judge the course, especially as a rookie. You want to make sure you have that. In the JV girls, Cambria Larson was our top runner. She won it. That's her first ever winning a cross-country race, so that's kind of neat for her. I know she was tickled to get that. She came back really, I think the last half mile, she closed the gap and caught the girl from West Central and beat her by 10 seconds, so she made a nice move with a half mile to go to close the gap there. She won it with 11:41. Emerson Urban was fifth at 12:57, and then Macy Claven was in seventh at 13:04, and Shea Botham was ninth at 13:49. So, again, I thought Morris was good learning experience for us, kind of get where, the heat is the heat, and, I'm not a person that uses excuses. Times aren't as fast maybe if we had nicer conditions. So, again, but you still work through the race, and that's the biggest thing. When you start and finish, when you're done, you're shot, you've all you've asked, and that's all we can do and build off that. So then came Thursday. Like I said, Ron came over, and then Jason helped out when we were putting that stuff together on Wednesday night, and we were talking. I said, I really don't think we're going to have it. I looked at that. It's called a wet bulb, because that's what the State High School League has out for a setting, and they can give you day by day. And I looked at it Wednesday night, and it's like 88 was the score. And that's 87.1 is the limit. You can, if you're above 87.1, you cannot have the meat. So I looked at those 80, I said, we're probably not going to get it. So we just got the finish line and got the start line, just did some basics, didn't go real heavy because, you know, you put 4 or 5 hours into it, then you don't get it. So we got that. Then came back out to the course about 12:30. We started getting things set and felt, yeah, it's stale. You can just feel it climbing because the clouds hid the sun early part of the day on Thursday. And then it started coming up, but we had wind moving. That air helped a lot. But the only thing is the wind kind of, it was supposed to pick up more than it did, which is too bad. If that wind would have picked up just a little bit more, it really wouldn't have been that bad of a heat. But then talking to Caden, our AD, and he found out, he talked to Redwood. Redwood had an app on their phone. They were checking it, and they looked at it. It says, you're 83. You can go. He goes, we're having a tennis match, so we'll go with it, what we're going to have. And he goes, you guys can have it. It's not even close, and it doesn't look like it's going to change much. So I went there, so then I looked at Ron. I said, Ron, we got some work to do here. So we scrambled our butt off trying to make sure everything else situated, and we made some adjustments too. I'm always looking out for the kids. I want to compete, but I want to look out for the kids. And so I had made some decisions early. The girls was going to change a distance. Varsity girls was going to move to a 4K. Boys, after getting the course set, I wanted the boys to go to a 4K. And then junior high, I just gave them the option to the coaches if we want to cut it or not. And I had good coaches to me and talked about some things. I said, here's my recommendations. Is 4Ks are all for all JV and up. Junior highs, we can leave the hill in or we can take the hill out. I don't care. That's an easy fix. It's not much of a change. Coaches talked a little bit back about it, and they said, let's take the hill up. I said, it's fine with me. So we set the course with no hill and got that done. I know this afternoon I'm going to run over there and rewheel the junior high course to see how exactly far it was. I'm thinking it's about 2,000 meters, give or take a little bit. But I know the varsity race, the 4K, was really close to a 4K, so we'll see where that's at. So good. It was a good meet. Spicer comes over. Spicer girls, like we said, they're the defending state champions. They returned 4 out of 5 back from last year's team, so they're a force. And we're not ready to run with them. Get us into October, then we'll see where we're at. But that's, again, we're not that level of running right now on the girls' side. The boys, we're just trying to learn. But it was just, let's race and see what we can do and see some new people and fit in. Junior high race, it was our top runner was Chelsea Clark. She finished 9th at 9:02.64. Skylar Stock was 14th at 9:37. And Ainsley Grunholz was 17th at 9:54. And then Cora Nelson, we got her back. She had a little bit of a hip issue. We got her back. She was 26th at 11:09. Junior high boys, again, our twins looked really good. Again, they looked a little bit more peaked, a little bit not. They didn't like the heat as much, but they still really competed well, I thought. Again, Landon Heinrich was our top one. He was 5th overall at 7:36. His brother, Braden, was in 8th. At 7:47, and then David Felton was in 9th at 7:59, and then Landon Scullerud was 15th at 8:32, and then we had Nolan Weber. He was in 38th at 16:15. It was good to get Nolan back. He's really was sore. His legs took a beating early, so we shut him down for a week, and then he was just slowly getting some running in last week, so we got him back into that. So that was good to see him. And worked that in. Varsity races, again, Spicer was the cream of the crop, and they won it. And I don't have my accurate scoring on me. I can get that here in a second if I need it. But, again, we knew we had to see where he fit. And, you know, again, we ran well. I thought Bryn, again, looked good. Again, I know she may be disappointed, but I thought she looked better than she looked on Monday. And so, again, she was our top runner there. She ended up finishing 8th. At 17:18. Now it's a 4K, not the 5K like they ran a couple days earlier. Laura Schreier was 10th at 17:58. Chloe Glegge was in 13th at 18:50. Tali Hursom was in 15th. She was at 19:01. And then Sadie Rosenau was in 18th at 8:19:18. And then Harper Grunholz was in 23rd at 20:56. Scoring wise, New England won it pretty easy. I want to say off the top of my head, I think they scored 39, I think, if I remember right. I think somewhere in that 30, 39. And then we were in second with 55. And then Monty was third at 74. So, again, we were a solid 2, and that's just the way it is. Boys, again, keep learning, keep developing. These young ones just got to keep pressing the issue. Colin Rosendahl, again, is running really well. He was fifth overall at 14:51. Then we had Matthew Botham. He was in 12th at 15:32. Then Colden Heineke was in 18th at 15:53. And Kentaro Sorrell was in 22nd at 16:01. Aaron Will was in 25th at 16:29. And then Eddie Felton was in 37th at 18:34. Scoring-wise, the boys end up finishing third. Monty won it. Spicer was second. And then we were in third. And, again, I thought that was good for us just to kind of just keep working and seeing new bodies and see where we fit in. And that's, I thought we did a really good job in there. JV boys, Armando Higuera, we got him back. Now, he was ninth overall at 17:32. He ran. They also ran the 4K course also. Then also Broden Ross, also he was in 19th at 19:08. So, again, we just had – and then we got Uriah Speck. We got him back. He was nicked up with a sore knee earlier. We got him back, and he was in 21st at 19:12. So, again, that was a good run there and see where we're at. And then in the JV, we ended up having – Cam and Cambry, who ran well on Monday, did not run. She has a little bit of a calf strain, and we weren't going to take a chance with her, so we held her out. So then we just had our one runner, Macy Claven, who was our lone runner. She was in seventh place at 22:52 on that 4K course. So, you know, overall, I thought our kids handled it well. You know, we ended up having 15 kids for the elementary run, which is really, really nice. We had, and we had a couple of kids that we got one bunch done. I think it was 11, and then all of a sudden there was five kids that missed it because we had said we were going to start about 7 o'clock. Well, we cut the races down. We started a little bit before, and they had just missed it. I said, let's go again. And Amanda Heinrich, you know, one of our former runners, you know, she jumped in. She goes, I'll take him for a lap. It's like going, God, to be that young again, to do that, that'd been so fun. But she took and jogged with the kids all the way around, helped them around. They ran the same course and got in because I've told the kids, I said, we have three home meets. If you do all three meets, I will get you a cross-country shirt which says Triple Crown participant and give them a shirt for that. So we had a really nice, hopefully that'll continue on there. And they ran that little, it was only 400. We were going to go a little farther with the temperatures. I said, let's just have a little short one. And it was fun. It was fun watching those kids. A couple of schools brought a couple of their kids. They jumped in. They got Gatorade and Duns. So it was a good experience there. And, you know, I thank the Upland Golf Course for allowing us to do this, you know, host. And then, you know, all the workers, Caden, you know, he's learning a lot. And I'm trying to avoid throwing a lot at him. But I thought he handled it very well of setting up, seeing what we do with it. Because he's never seen a cross country, been with cross country before. So he was out there helping. So it was really, really nice to have the athletic director doing that and helping us out. So overall, it was good and enjoyable. And I said, we just got to keep chipping away.
Yeah. Up and coming week.
Busy week, you know, with county fair. We got a bunch of kids are in 4-H, which is awesome. I think it's great to be in 4-H. So we may do some kids for some meets this week. It is what it is. And again, to get you a chance to participate and compete at 4-H, I think it's great. We run Thursday in Benson. I believe that's a 4:30 startup in Benson. And then on Saturday morning, we're at Millbank. I know Chloe is probably not going to be able to run at Millbank just because they're showing livestock, and that's fine. I said I'd love to have them go because you go in South Dakota, it's fun to go over there because you only compete with four. And the same, you know, there's a couple other talking to me too, it'll be gone, so it'll be fun to do that. So it'll be where we're at. One other thing I want to mention too is I went up to Morehead State last night, watched Gavin Carl run. Gavin's running for Concordia. I got a chance to run up there. I always try to run, watch my former athletes run, and he was running up there, so I snuck up there and said, I just happened to got lost. And I ran into Morehead. I also ran into Morehead. And he ran really well. He ran a 6K up there and looked very good. He looked a lot better than last year as a freshman. I thought he'd look sharp. I thought he looked really strong. And he bit off a little early. That last mile got a little tough. But it was good seeing him up there, watching him run. And I know he says hi to everybody up there. But it's good to have that and get a chance and see how that goes. So I'd like to recognize him.
Yeah, and speaking of alumni, you have one that coaches against you.
Yeah, I got Kaiser's over at Spicer. He's being assistant over there. He was giving me a hard time, and I was giving him a hard time back. It's fun to see that when you have your former athletes doing some coaching, and he'll do very well. And, you know, he's got that drive. He's got that young, because, you know, even that young kid coming in, you can throw a little bit more of spice at the kids, and they'll get it a little bit more. So an old, cryptid guy like me, they'll understand, and that's the fun thing. So it's good to see Kaiser, and we'll see him throughout the season, and we'll ride each other. We text each other off and on to see what's going on, so it'll be good to see him. It's nice to have that.
And it's good to see your son. He helped out, too, and he's going to Ridgewater.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. So, no, it was good. So it was kind of everybody. My daughter came back, too, so she was around, too. So both the kids around. So I guess she came back. She was off, so she came back for school, too, from school. So it's good to have them around helping. We're just bouncing around. So
that's right. All right. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on
Thursday, cooler temperatures, I'm hoping.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Paul Ramo tried to get an interview on tape on Friday, and then we'll have to talk about the Milbank next week.
Yep, because that following week we're off the whole week, so it'll be nice. So.
Okay. John Sherb on Cross Country. We'll take the break and be back with volleyball with Morgan Jaeger after this.
I'm with Monica Bothan from Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, what's happening?
Well, Paul Ramo, I am celebrating 19 years in business at Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street. Come celebrate with Monica. Enjoy a dark chocolate sea salt caramel. September 9th through the 12th, serving hot chicken sandwiches Friday at noon to go. Sign up for daily $100 gift certificate giveaway. New fall fashions are arriving daily. Like me on Facebook, and I'm open Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. And like me on Facebook. Come celebrate with me.
Help Monica celebrate 19 years in business this week. Looking for something sweet, local, and a little bit different at the La Cabral County Fair this year? Then follow your nose to the Pheasants Forever building for a delicious taste of locally grown honeyberries. Lynn is bringing back her popular honeyberry sundaes, and Tracy is serving up something brand new, honeyberry muffins. And if you love them, take some home. Honeyberry topping and honeyberry jam will be available for purchase. This year, Logan and Tracy Dove, along with John Dove of Dove Honeyberry Orchard, located northeast of Dawson, are joining forces with Jeff and Lynn Morotsky of White Barn Honeyberries, just north of Dawson, to bring honeyberry treats to the fair. So make a stop at the Pheasants Forever building at the La Cabral County Fair and discover why honeyberries are the sweet little berry everyone's talking about. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Rayo here, stepping in here. We're going to visit with Morgan Jaeger, the first-year head coach out at La Cabral Valley. And good morning, Morgan.
Good morning, Paul.
How's your Labor Day weekend going, started?
It's pretty good.
Good.
Just a nice little break after the first week of school started. So, yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay. Well, you got your season off to a good start there on Tuesday up in Graceville.
Yes, Border West. We knew they were going to be a very tough team, probably one of the toughest teams we were going to see this season. But overall, I'm pleased with how the game went. I'm pleased with how our girls played. I mean, knowing how tough of a team Border West is, they're not afraid to swing. They block, they cover, they get everything up off the ground. I think we gave them a good fight, and it was fun seeing kind of things that we can do against good teams like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was I was impressed with your team, Morgan. Even though you lost the set, the match, but they're feisty. They go after every loose ball, and I thought they played pretty well. In Border West, hats off to them. They're a good team.
They are a very good team. But yes, our girls, I appreciate them so much for not giving up on balls. We had two goals going into the game, and one of the goals was to make sure we're covering, because we know how much their block is, and I mean, it was definitely there, and I feel like we did a good job of covering. And then our other goal was to have 85% above serving percentage, and we actually only missed two serves, so we got 95%+, so that was great.
Good. Let's talk about some of your girls. again with that match with Border West. So do you have some of the stats there in front of you, Morgan?
Yes, I do. Okay. Yep. So blocks, we had, I think it was right around 10 plus blocks, which is really good. I have Faith Meyer down for 5 blocks, Sophie Leah down for 4, Eva Traeger with 3, Lily Fernholz and Shayla Meyer each had 2, and that is solo and assist blocks combined for them. And then I have 2 aces for Lily Fernholz, an ace for Macy Coyer, and 1 ace for Maya Mortensen. Kills, we had 7 for Shayla Meyer, 5 for Faith Meyer, 4 for Lily Fernholz, and Eva Traeger with 1. Digs, Ashton Shelstead had 19 digs. I'm not surprised there. She was definitely getting up a lot of balls.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Sachs had 8. Shayla Meyer had 7. Maya Mortensen with 4. Eva Traeger, Macy Coyer both had 4. Lily Fernholz had 2. And Faith Meyer had 1.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, that's the stats. You know, I broadcasted the match. I was impressed with Lily Fernholz and Faith Meyer. What Faith, you had 5 blocks for her at the net.
That's
pretty impressive.
Yes, yeah. Lily Fernholz was, honestly, she was all around on all of the stat sheets, so that's really good to see when a player is just getting on the stat sheet all around in all different aspects for the team. That's really good to see. Faith and Shayla were definitely putting the ball away, avoiding the ball from dropping on our side. Same with Sophie with her 4 blocks. I think she had 3 solo blocks out of those 4. The other one is an assist, I believe.
Yeah.
So I think we saw some things that we can work on from that game. And, I mean, we already have been working on it this week. So I think coming into this next week against Hancock, our first home game on Tuesday, September 8th, I think that should be a really good game. It's, I think it's a game that is certainly winnable,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a game that I think if we can come out with a win or really give them a really good fight, I think it can really show like the progress we've already made from last season to this season.
Right.
So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's for sure. You can tell some of your girls put some time in during the summer, too.
Yes.
Ashton Schell said, "What? She's young yet, right?"
Yep, she's only a freshman.
Yeah, she. So as an eighth grader, she had a lot of varsity experience last year. And what'd you say, she had 19 digs against Border West?
So. 19 digs, yes. So very impressed with her.
That's right. All right, anything else? Was JV in action this year, this week, or
C-Squad? C team and JV both had games against Border West. They fell to Border West 2 sets each match. But I feel like our C team and our JV both looked good. We were really good at putting service pressure on the other teams. So that's always really nice. That's the first ball that starts your rally on. So if you can kind of throw a team off right away, it's a lot easier to gain points that way. So that was really good to see with them.
And just to point out, you broke in the new gym at Border West at in Graceville.
Yes, we did.
I think that was the
first official match there.
Yep, first official high school event in that gym. It's a nice gym, too. They made a nice improvement there at Clint Graceville Beardsley. So.
Yes, very nice.
All right, and then Hancock Tuesday, is that your only match?
Hancock Tuesday, and then we do have a tournament in Benson on Saturday, next Saturday.
Okay.
And that will be with Ashby, Benson, Ortonville, and Dawson Boyd.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we'll get to see some teams there and see what we can do against them as well.
Okay, so we'll record the coach's show probably Friday then.
Yes, probably Friday.
Okay, all right. All right, anything else, Morgan? We touch on everything there, it looks like?
Yeah, I think I touched on everything I wanted to, yeah.
Okay. Well, best of luck this week. I'll be out there broadcasting the Hancock match on Tuesday at the Eagle's Nest, and hopefully it's not, well, we're inside, it's air conditioned, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
All right. All right, thanks, Morgan, for the report on the volleyball team.
Of course.
And,
thank you.
Yep, and we'll see you Tuesday.
Sounds good.
That's Morgan Jaeger, head coach of the Lacaparo Valley volleyball team. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more of the Coach's Show after this. Music lovers, this one's for you. The Lacaparo County Fair is bringing an incredible lineup of live entertainment to Madison September 10th through the 13th. Thursday kicked things off with the Kingery family, followed by the legendary White Sidewalls with the Rock and Roll Review. Friday night, travel back to the 90s with Gen X Jukebox. Saturday night, get ready for the high-energy Pop Rocks, bringing celebrity music tributes and hits from across the decades. And Sunday afternoon, it's custom-made band taking the stage. Five great acts, four big days, and one amazing fair. The Lacaparo County Fair, the Little Minnesota State Fair. See you there.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, September 4th through Monday, September 7th in Theater 1. It's The Brink of War, an historical film, The Brink of War, and that's rated PG-13. In Theater number 2 at the Grand held over, Coyote versus Acme, rated PG. That's fun for the whole family. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison. A note that the Grand will be closed the weekend of the Lacaparo County Fair.
When every bushel counts, trust the team that puts your crop first. Schmidt Ag offers custom ground and aerial spraying, dry fertilizer, and 28% application. Delivered with the accuracy and timing your operation depends on. We also offer Golden Harvest seed sales and seed treating, plus crop protection and baseline RX fertility solutions through topsoil. From seed to harvest, we're with you every step of the way. Call Schmidt Ag today at 320-226-1301. That's 320-226-1301 to book your products and custom application. That's Schmidt Ag. Back here at the Coach's Show, Paul Ramo and Dick Newman. Dr. Hacker's unavailable this morning, but they did have one match this past week, and they picked up a win over McRae, 5-2. Winning a number two singles was Reese Kuzman, 6-2, 2-6, 10-7. Aiden Bonnet, number three singles, won her match, and Mari Fulness at number four singles beat her opponent from McRae 6-4, 7-6. In doubles, number one doubles team of Carson Whitnabel and Greta Hacker won their match. And number three doubles team of Casey Tweet and Micaiah Kubel. They won 6-2, 6-0, 6-0 against their McRae opponent. So a 5-2 win for Lacaparo Valley Dawson Boyd girls tennis team, Dick. Pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah, and they... We'll have to make up the match that was scheduled for Thursday yep. because of the hot weather.
Yep, hot weather Thursday afternoon out at Lacaparo. So.
And I'm sure he's got some more matches during the week, next week, that we can talk about.
Okay.
So. All right. Well, that about wraps up another Coach's Show. Fun talking to all the coaches. Wish that Raymond is still in the amateur baseball state tournament. They play in Jordan today. There's four teams left in Class C, and if they win, they'll probably play defending champion Delano on Labor Day. So the worst they can do is fourth place, and we wish that Raymond can do a good job. So I'll do a couple of Dick Newman's sick jokes. What's the least spoken language in the world? Well, of course, it's sign language. And what would ACGC have been called if their songs were about world history? Well, A.D. and B.C. And what do you call a nervous javelin thrower? Shakespeare. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play it a sport to be one.
Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.